every person I hire, I don't really force them to do this, but I highly recommend that they read my four books for being a successful adult.
Okay.
I have to give my team right now credit. Three of the four of them have actually read them,
I
and we're
didn't
able to
know
kind
that
of.
you'd written a book.
Oh no, not me personally that I've written.
Oh,
No,
I
no,
was like,
it's.
wait, why did
Oh
you
no,
write
no,
a book?
no. It's a book list. Four books that
Oh, gotcha.
have kind of helped shape how I try to approach being a responsible adult.
Okay, so what's your book list?
All right, so the first one is How to Win Friends and Influence People
Love that one.
by Dale Carnegie. The second one, so that's personal relationship interaction, all that stuff. The second one is The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, and that is entirely about systems development and putting framework in place to manage any process, any organization, and relying on the system, relying on that framework to generate consistency, maintain process, maintain workflow, maintain responsibility, as opposed to relying on people.
Okay.
It's kind of like an expansion of the McDonald's assembly line model, where, the idea is you can bring anybody in off the street, train them in one particular simple skill, and, just have that assembly line of things happening so that in an efficient manner, you get a finished product the same every time. So instead of like being a small business and you like randomly hire people and hope they do well, and you get one person who's a rock star, and then you just keep piling and piling and piling and piling, and finally they're just like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And you have relied on that person to do all this stuff. And when they leave, you have no idea how any of this stuff got done.
Yeah. And we've got two. What are the other two?
The third one is Switch, How to Make Change Happen When Change is Hard by Chad Heath. I think last name is definitely Heath. That is entirely about change management and about dealing with behavior change, dealing with the never changers, how to set up your entire process of change from initial communication, follow-up communication, going through the actual change and providing all the resources and support to help people make the change, whether it is, hey, we're going to relocate to a new office, or hey, we're going to bring in this new ERP system, we're going to do this new thing. Everybody's got to get on board. And you're going to have about, 10 to 15% of your population who's like, absolutely, let's do it. How can I help? And you're going to have 10 to 15% of your population that's like, make me. And the rest of them are kind of like, eh, whatever. I just don't want things to be harder.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
so, and it's written in a kind of a pop science-y way, so it's easy to digest. It talks about the three main things you have to look for that uses the acronym REPS, which stands for the rider and for the elephant and for the pathway.
Okay.
And so the rider is this little bitty thing that has to get this elephant to go down a certain pathway. And how do you, the change manager or person, get this barge, this boat to go the right way? All right.
Okay.
The last one is Never Split the Difference. It's by Chris Voss, who is a former FBI, CIA interrogator. And it talks about negotiation skills and using some of the stuff he used as a hostage negotiator in your day-to-day business dealings. Corporate culture is so much about not wanting to offend people and not wanting to push things too far and not go too far outside of your lane or whatever. But his contention is like, throw a wild idea out there. And he uses some examples of like, haggling on pricing for stuff, like going and asking for a raise or something. Now, if you're making, $50,000, you want to get to 75. Market rate says you're supposed to be at like 62, 65, and you go to your boss and you don't want him to laugh you out of the room. And so you're like, oh, maybe I should just ask for market. And so you go from 50 to 65, and if 65 is your starting point, your boss is immediately going to counter with something that is already below market that you feel is more valuable. So what you do is you walk in there and say, hey, boss, I want 100. Just something wild, and set the conversation in that frame, so that as you back them back down, or as they back you back down, they think they're backing you back down, but you're really getting to where you want to be in the first place. Small example, but yeah, it's got some really interesting tips on how to deal with some negotiations, how to deal with difficult people who you just really can't get through. My favorite one is the silent treatment, is to
Okay.
be comfortable with silence. You get into a discussion, you get into a meeting, it can get a little contentious, and people just want to fill the air because they get scared of silence.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question. I need the answer that I need, and I'm going to sit here as long as it takes for you to respond. Because if you start to then fill the air out of discomfort, you end up negotiating against yourself.
Whoever speaks first loses.
Right.
I did learn that in some negotiations a long time ago, and I practiced that hard last year, and it was awkward as hell.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I got what I needed to get out of that negotiation. So, yeah, that's, I'm gonna read these books. Thank you.
Okay. Sure
You ready to
thing. I love
start?
them today.